Hi, I'm Liz at Primary ICT Liz T on Twitter, and you're listening to A Dark Companion.
Hi, this is Zero, and you're listening to A Dark Companion, a Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts podcast. This is episode 5, focusing on chapter 10, called The Visitor. And I am not alone. I have another guest for you guys. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Liz, and I'm from Manchester in England.
Ah, yes, so we're getting international now with the podcast. Excellent. All right, well... So, as I said, the chapter is chapter 10, and it's called The Visitor. Just quickly talk about the portal icon for it in the menu. So, in the center of the circle, we have some eyes hiding behind a, looks like an open computer case. And around the outside, we've got a face on the left and a face on the right. Trying to figure out exactly what they mean by there. I have a few theories. And at the bottom... at about, I don't know, 5 o'clock, there looks like a vial with a heart in it or something kind of red. So, any thoughts about that portal icon?
It's just really mysterious, to be honest.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw it, I wasn't quite sure, you know, who it was looking through and everything, but and what she was looking through, but obviously now it's quite apparent, but yeah, definitely, yeah. Lots of questions there.
Yeah, now the faces on the sides, one idea I had is that maybe, because it kind of looks like the same person, but it's slightly different angles. So like maybe one looking forward, one looking back. Like, so what are they trying to say there?
I suppose, because I mean, obviously, knowing what happens in the chapter, the visitor's sort of from Emma's past, but, you know, also is now in the present and possibly the future, so maybe a bit of that going on.
Yeah, definitely, and there's a lot of interesting imagery and kind of hints at really what's going on in this episode with, I mean, just looking at the chapter header and her hiding behind that computer case ties directly to the previous chapter, which I can't remember which one it is, chapter 8, where the little girl is hiding underneath the trailer, kind of a way to let you know these are the same person, which I think is pretty smart. And she has the same kind of interaction with the visitor that she had before, which I also find kind of interesting, and even to the fact that he knows her name, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, she doesn't seem, although obviously she's scared, she doesn't seem particularly surprised to see him. So I'm wondering maybe if she's, you know, seen him since.
Yeah, I mean, I wondered in chapter 8 if this was not the first time that that whole thing had happened. And probably not the first time since.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, how much that she's looking into what's going on, and clearly, I don't know, it seems to me like maybe her mom never came back and she kind of got obsessed with trying to solve whatever's going on.
Yeah, especially the way that she's spending all that time sort of looking over the footage at the start of the episode and, and writing down the questions and things. Yeah, you're right, it looks like she's not new to this whole research and mysteries thing.
Yeah, and I guess a kind of traumatic event like what we saw in Chapter 8, you know, would lead somebody to kind of an obsessive level of looking into this.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Another one of the connections I pointed out on the blog, it wantstogetout.tumblr.com, if you don't know about that. When she gets out of the car, when she gets to the warehouse, she does have her stuffed alligator in her purse.
Yes, yeah.
which is pretty nice little tidbit there.
Yeah, definitely. Like as if she can't let it go. Do you know what I mean? Like it's sort of like a comfort thing now.
Yeah, which makes, hey, now that I think about it, even makes me even more believe that that time that we saw in Chapter 8, if it wasn't the first time, it was maybe the last time that her mother and him switched places. And so she's kind of emotionally in some ways frozen in that moment. And so she's still carrying the stuffed animal from that time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, even the warehouse is called Parallel Shipping, which, I mean, it lets you know this parallels the episode before.
Yeah, quite a nice touch, that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit on the nose, but it's not too obvious, but if you're really paying attention, it makes perfect sense. So I'm just scrolling through what I have on the blog here, and I've got the lock screen on her iPad, so more symbols and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely weird.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, she's got those symbols on her iPad. They pop up in between frames in previous episodes, and me and Nambo Parfo spent a bunch of time translating them all. And what's on the screen doesn't appear to particularly spell anything, just lets you see a bigger array of the shapes. How did she come across that and make it her background, I wonder?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's that one's a bit of a mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it could just be, you know, she liked it, and it's also part of her investigating everything. I don't know.
Or does she know more than she's letting on?
Could be. I mean, she she seems pretty invested in it, and she's got all those files on her computer, and so it's pretty likely that she's got maybe a lot of information that that's not apparent to us yet. The next photo I have is a kind of a collage of items that are on the wall in the warehouse. And I was just looking at the discussion board in the app, and there was a lot of talk about this one particular page where you can see the word Chapter 1 on there. And they're kind of wondering, is this just something that's on the wall? Is it a red herring? Or is there actually some useful information you can get out of that?
Yeah, it's it could well be a red herring, though, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, but you can never be too sure with anything in this movie.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that could have meaning, and I don't know. But there's a lot of interesting things on the wall in that particular shot. There's that big page from a book. It looks like it's torn out of a book. You can see the words, "Good night, Sir John," in there. Chapter 1. But there's also a light bulb diagram. Not really sure I understand why that's there. And then a nice picture of, pretty sure that's Melissa. Don't know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is supposed to be obviously where Pixel Face has been.
Right.
I've been saying things from, isn't it? So.
Yeah, and it's an interesting location for him to be doing it. Let's see. So there's some lock and key imagery with the chains and necklaces hanging off of that little, I don't know, window there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the constantly recurring theme of opening the door and keys and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of keys. Just lots of keys, isn't there, really, in the...
Yeah. What do you think that's pointing to? Like, why so much of that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a reference to... excuse me. Maybe it's a reference to when they're talking about in the first app, her opening the door. Maybe it's something linked to that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, it's something completely new.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Is this, like, literal keys and locks, or is there something more metaphorical? I don't know. Yeah, and so we get one shot where we see the parallel shipping manifest on the wall and some pictures of a woman. One, it looks like her eyes are blanked out, but it's definitely things that we've seen in the background during those Pixel Face episodes. So we're, you know, very certain that this is where he did at least some of his broadcasting.
Yeah.
And then as she gets around to the bottom, there's an overturned desk, and there's a strange chart kind of a thing on the bottom of the desk. And I found, I can't remember who posted it, but for a little while there was a Pinterest for WYOJ Radio, where we find out in the beginning of this chapter that Emma works with the the DJ Willie Pipes and his show Up All Night, or All Night Long, I should say. And there was a Pinterest for them for a little while, and there's a whole bunch of stuff about UFOs, which makes sense. But then there's this strange chart, and I posted that on the Tumblr as well. Any idea what meaning this could have? Can you see it right now? I don't know if you have it pulled up.
I'm just trying to get it now.
Okay. Yeah, it's looks like a chart of... It starts at the bottom with crystal earth. I can't remember what this relates to. I just did some reading about it. But there's like the mother sun and the father sun and our sun. It's like very strange. But it deals with the stars and kind of a metaphysical thing, which I've been starting to get a little suspicious of an extraterrestrial element in this story. Something like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely could be, yeah.
Because it seems like, you know, a ghost story, and you think of ghosts as being kind of normal. But I think there's a little bit more going on, whether it's just a different reality or some kind of alien tie-in. I'm not sure.
Just 1 second. I've nearly got it up.
Sure, no problem. And kind of reading through it a minute. And the lines that connect all of these dots look a lot like some of the symbols and stuff that we've seen.
Yeah. It's difficult to say. Like you say, it could be, you know, like you were saying about an extraterrestrial link, or, you know, perhaps sort of the symbols represent different characters, different people within the story and how they link together. Because obviously, you know, towards the start of the app, everything seems a little bit bitty, doesn't it, with different sort of storylines going on. But, you know, you do start to see them all coming together, really. So,
yeah. Yeah, the first couple kind of set the mood, I guess, for everything that we're going to see after. And then it's a good place to go back and look at those chapters once you get a little bit more information. And try to come up with a new idea.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, this is a very strange chart. The next thing...
Why is it sort of carved into... why is it sort of carved there?
Yeah, it's a weird place if the desk were standing up. It's a strange place to carve that. And...
Yeah.
I don't know. And at the top of it... which you see in a bit in the chapter, at the very top of that chart, if you look at the blue one underneath, what the area that represents the omnigalactic source, the visitor comes in and opens that up and pulls out a wooden card.
Yes, yeah.
Did you notice what that was?
I found it hard to make out. I sort of wanted to believe it was some sort of version of a memory card or a, you know, like a USB device. But
yeah. If you zoom in, you can see the little USB part on the end.
Oh, brilliant.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can, yeah.
So it must be some kind of backed up information, something like that.
But again, very weird place to hide it.
Yeah. And then... on the top of the desk, I think that's the top, we've got GPS coordinates. And this was a lot of, brought up a lot of discussion in the discussion boards and on Twitter about these GPS coordinates and where they point. Did you try looking those up?
I haven't looked them up, but I know that do they relate to somewhere in America?
Well, they actually relate to somewhere in Canada.
Canada, right.
Right, which, and it's just... seems like the middle of nowhere. You know, if you put them in just the wrong way, you get Russia, but Yeah, it ends up being somewhere in Canada, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, so
again, is it a red herring?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's scratched into the desk. I mean, there's a lot of stuff scratched into the desk, but very deliberate. And so maybe in a future chapter we'll get some idea of what that points to. There's also underneath that GPS coordinates, we can see like kind of a drawing of large group of people kind of off into the distance. These little faceless people. Don't know what that means.
Yeah, like a big crowd.
Yeah, and actually right below the crowd, some kind of a rocket. It's got like flames coming off it maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, does that tie into the whole extraterrestrial aspect? I don't know. That could be a stretch.
It could do, though, couldn't it?
Yeah. I feel like there's a bigger picture here, but I can't really... There's so much stuff, it's hard to really focus on it.
Yeah, because there's sort of... On the left, there's this sort of large face, isn't there, with its mouth wide open?
Yeah, it's kind of screaming and... Behind his head, there's like a tennis racket, almost like a grid.
Yeah. It's like you said. I'm sure everything will have a meaning.
Oh yeah, I mean,
just we don't know yet.
Because you know they had to create all this. There's definitely some meaning behind it. It's just what information do you have right now to make that make sense?
Yeah.
See, don't disregard anything. And there's more of those letter symbols on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But I'm wondering if we get a complete picture of that when we watch it, or if there's more at the start that we don't get to see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious when those things were scratched into the desk, like what was kind of going on at the time. Was it... I mean, we've seen a lot of people kind of going crazy, and I can easily imagine somebody kind of losing it with a knife, scratching things into the desk, or are they just trying to find a semi-permanent way to get information down? I don't know. And how did the visitor know that the flash drive was stuck in the desk?
I'm assuming that he put it there, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, with kind of the technical capabilities that Pixel Face had, I guess it might be a backup of some things, but why would he tell this guy?
Yeah, definitely.
Why is his hand bandaged up? I really don't know. Doesn't look injured, but I don't know.
Yeah, and what's with the limp as well?
Yeah, you'd think somebody who can... you know, switch places with her mother and appear from a portal in the middle of the street could maybe take care of himself, but I suppose maybe not. So I took a shot of the questions that Emma was writing down and see maybe if he had any thoughts about it. So there's the first one is, where did Melissa go? Any ideas about where that would be?
Where Melissa went?
Yeah.
She's obviously must have gone somewhere completely off the grid for nobody to have been able to find her.
Right.
I suppose it's whether she went to, like, maybe a parallel universe place, as in, like, sort of similar to, like, Emma's mum.
Right.
But then, you know, possibly you think, well, maybe there's those coordinates, isn't there? Like you said, they're in Canada, in the middle of nowhere, so...
Yeah, possibly that's related. And if we go back and look at the previous chapter, we can see she kind of, I don't know, she comes to in that warehouse. It doesn't really look like the same warehouse that we're in chapter 10. And she seems a little bewildered about where she is and a little, almost looking around like everything is new, but maybe it's just confusion about how she ended up there because she doesn't remember anything in between.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And who put her there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, maybe it's not so much a case of where did she go, but who has she been with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good question. Because we've got a lot of different elements in this movie. We've got goth girl who seems completely different than the visitor. She kind of disappears and reappears in a puff of smoke, so to speak. And the visitor just walks around and does that portal thing. So are they related in any kind of way? They're too different.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of think like that maybe should be related in a way, because they're both sort of supernatural elements of the story, but, you know, possibly it's, you know, two separate incidents that have sort of crossed over.
Yeah, I mean, they're related in that they're stranger than the rest of the humans in the story, but she seems more like a ghost. He seems more like some kind of a more corporeal being. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And do they work together? Goth Girl doesn't seem to be hurting anybody. She just kind of is hanging around and being creepy.
Yeah. I'm not sure they do work together.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Because I can't tell what either one of their goals are.
No.
And whatever it is, it doesn't seem like they're working towards the same thing, but we'll just have to find out later, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely.
So her third question on the paper, it just says Melissa ... mom. What do you think that question even means? It's kind of open, missing all the words.
Yeah. I mean, it could be sort of, is what's happening to Melissa related to what happened to her mum? Or it could be, is Catherine Melissa's mum? Because, you know, it's starting to be a little bit suspicious as to whether that's, you know, things are what they seem.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, we assume that everything is on the up and up, that, you know, Jack is her dad and Catherine's her mom. But, I mean, it's certainly possible that that's not exactly the case. We don't know for sure. I don't recall seeing any childhood pictures of Melissa. I mean, there's a picture of a young girl on the top of the stairs, but don't know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or could she even be talking about, obviously, from Emma's point of view, Emma's mum disappeared very suddenly.
Right.
Could she be sort of linking Melissa's disappearance to her own mother's disappearance?
Yeah. I mean, that seems more likely, you know. So, and that might lend credence to the idea that maybe her mom didn't come back from the last time.
Yeah.
And so maybe Melissa's where mom is. I don't know.
Yeah, like you said, it's very open-ended, that, isn't it?
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure is deliberate.
Yeah.
Let's see. So she asked also, who is the anonymous broadcaster? That's all pixel face, so still looking to figure that out. And what is that last question? Does that say where is she?
I think it's, yeah, where is Anonymous Broadcasting from, I'd imagine.
Right, I guess she figures that out when she ends up there. Hmm. Now, what do you think about that vial that's around her neck? So we mentioned it earlier at the in the portal circle for the chapter. Yeah, and then if you watch the chapter closely, you can see that it's hanging around her neck. What do you think that's about?
I'm guessing it has some sort of special meaning to her, but I can't imagine what it would be.
Yeah, it's a heart trapped in a glass vial.
Yeah. Something that's obviously very precious that she would keep it around her neck, but why? And
where did she get
maybe
it?
Is there another purpose? Yeah, where did she get it? Yeah.
Because she didn't have it when we saw her as a little girl. So somewhere between then and now, she picked that up. I mean, it seems like protection, seems like preservation of her heart or a heart. I don't know.
Yeah, and I suppose it sort of also makes you start to think, if Emma's mum did disappear that last time, who then, where did Emma go? Where did she end up? Who looked after her for the, you know, the rest of her childhood?
Yeah. Who raised Emma is kind of, it's a big question because, yeah, I mean, what happened? She was pretty little. I can't really gauge what her age was, but all of a sudden now her mother's gone. Didn't seem like anybody else lived there with her. So what does she do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder if perhaps whoever did raise her maybe had, you know, links to everything that's going on. Maybe they gave her the vial.
That's true. That's very true. I wonder if the person that gave it to her even had an idea of what had happened, or just simply thought that this is a good thing for you to have, and maybe it coincidentally does have something to do with what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the other questions I have are kind of, I don't know if they're really germane to anything, just those shoes that are hanging off of the rearview mirror in her car. Kind of weird, but could be nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose perhaps they could be hers from when she was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you said, they could just be one of those dangly things that people have in
the
car.
Yeah, she's not into dice, so she got the shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you notice anything change in this episode? Any dynamic story element?
No, I haven't noticed anything. I have watched it a few times, but no, not noticed anything as of yet.
Yeah, and it's the same each time, but I mean, there's so much going on that that's not a problem. You know, we get to see another interaction between her and the visitor, who once again knows she's there, but doesn't come after her.
Yeah, it makes you wonder sort of why isn't he coming after her? Has he got a special purpose for the people he comes after? Or is there something particular about Emma that means that he doesn't come after her?
Yeah, I mean, he even knows her name. Did he get that information from her mother?
Yeah.
What kind of deal did he have with the mother that, you know, did she have to disappear for him to appear? And what does she get out of the deal?
Yeah, or maybe, you know, maybe he wanted to take Emma and her mother put herself in Emma's place, and that's why the mother disappeared, perhaps.
Oh, that's not bad. That's an interesting idea. I'm still wondering how her mother even knew that it was time to throw her in a box and go out there and be switched out.
Yeah.
She just jumped up and went to work. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the biggest mysteries, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's like everything else, there's a lot of questions that come out of that, but you know, this Emma's definitely a new, pretty serious main character. So there's even more backstory to get there. I mean, there's things from Melissa's past and Jack and Catherine's past that we want to know, but now we've got to add Emma in the mix. You know, what the backstory is with her mom, how she got mixed up in this whole thing. So we can kind of know how Emma got involved, but we don't know how her mom got involved.
Yeah, it's hopefully we'll find out as we progress through the app.
Yeah, there's so many questions and you know, I don't want all of them answered. I want a lot of the questions, if I had to say what I wanted, to be answerable if we do enough research, if we make enough of our own connections, versus just being handed all the answers to everything and then you just, that's it. So I do like the way it's going so far.
Then again, maybe it might be nice if we don't get very many answers, and then maybe haunting Melissa 3 might be more like haunting Emma.
Oh, that would be great. I'm very curious to see what the third installment of this would be. You know, because this is similar but very different from the first one. And since, you know, this is a whole new thing, I think they've learned a lot and gotten a lot of ideas from going through it the first time and now doing it the second.
Yeah, definitely. I loved the first app and I love obviously this app as well, but they are, like you say, very, very different, but both equally fabulous in their own right.
Oh, yeah. It's a natural evolution of this new technology.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add about Chapter 10?
Just that I think that line where he's walking out and says, don't make me come and get you, Emma. Absolutely spine-chilling.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't expect him to say anything. You know, he hasn't.
You sort of think she's got away with it.
Yeah, and then he, without even really turning around or anything, he knows she's there. So he can sense her.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, can he sense her, or does he perhaps, has he had enough interaction with her when she was little that he sort of knows her, and he knows that she will have followed him out and be watching him, and that she'll be there?
Well, that's certainly possible. I mean, you know, he's got to know she's looking into things, and she's kind of following what seems to be kind of his trail around. So,
But he obviously doesn't seem too concerned, does he?
Otherwise, no, he's not trying to stop her. He's just like, hey, relax. Don't make me have to come over there. Like, he could, but he's just like, just, you know, cut it out. It's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Why is that? It's almost like, I get this weird feeling like maybe, well, like, he knows her so much, it seems almost like, I don't know, he cares in a weird way. Like, there's something keeping him from just getting her out of the way.
Yeah.
Some kind of investment. Plot twist. He's Emma's father. That would be interesting.
Maybe.
That just popped into my head and I can't shake it now. And so he doesn't want to come after her. He doesn't like that she's looking into stuff, but he still has that piece of him in there. It's like, just let it go. That could be very interesting.
Could well be. Yeah.
And in the beginning, when she is working at WYOJ 102, and she talks to Willis Pipes, and it's kind of a joke about, you know, she doesn't need him to be her dad. And he kind of says that she does. And I wonder if that guy has been some kind of father figure to her. They seem pretty familiar.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was wondering, you know, obviously that bit's been included for a reason. And I just sort of wonder, is that there sort of to support your understanding of Emma as a character? Mm-hmm. Or is it there for a reason? Is he maybe a bit more of a character than we realize him to be initially?
Yeah, because he doesn't really interact that much. He's kind of off camera talking on the radio and then has that little interaction with her and then walks out. So
yeah,
we don't really know how deep he goes, but their little banter back and forth could be a hint at maybe a deeper relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, could well be.
Because as far as we know, she's been raised by nobody. So maybe he came across her. I don't know. Or maybe she's just worked there a long time.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, she's pretty young, really, isn't she, to be doing that job? You know, perhaps he was the guy who raised her.
Yeah,
That's how she ended up working there.
So how did he come across her? Was she dating her mom? Did he drive by on his motorcycle that we see? I'm assuming that's his motorcycle, as cool as he is.
So yeah, yeah.
Maybe he found her in the middle of the street or underneath that trailer. Maybe that's his trailer that she was hiding under.
Maybe.
So many maybes. You can kind of tie anything to anything.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But at least now that we have this podcast, there's a recording of all the theories that we can start checking them off, whether or not they were right.
Yeah, and then if we get one that's right at the end, we can be like, yeah, we knew that.
Oh yeah, totally saw that coming a mile away. And maybe we can put together just a list of all of them and then whittle that down into like one big cohesive kind of theory of everything. Mm-hmm. I also was a little bit suspicious because the radio show seems to be about weird stuff, you know, UFO, all the kind of fringe things and people calling in about voices on their TV and whatnot, which made me think, like, I wonder if any of those calls have to do with, or if that show has ever gotten, oh, this actually is really interesting. I wonder if Emma benefited from working at that kind of a radio show and people calling in, seeing weird things, and that helping her gather more information.
Yeah, and whether sort of working there maybe helped deepen her interest in that, or maybe she applied for that job specifically for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Willis looks into that kind of stuff too. And
yeah.
Because maybe if he raised her, maybe he came across her, maybe he saw something too. And I don't know. And she's more obsessed than he is, and he's telling her to get a life, you know, jokingly, but she's more invested because her mother disappeared.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, that was my battery.
Oh, no problem. It's fine, though. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely lots of mysteries.
Well, because, you know, why do we get to see her working at a radio station with that kind of a show? Like, that's an interesting choice. There must be some kind of relevance.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said before, sort of why do we see that interaction between him and her? Is it just to help us understand her as a character a bit more, or is there another reason?
Yeah, I mean, are they telling us something about the two of them? I think they are. But we'll just have to see eventually what it is that they're trying to tell us.
Yeah, hopefully we will find the answer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking at the discussion board. I mean, this particular chapter has such a long list of discussions, and then each one of those has a long list of sub-discussions. So there's a lot of talk with this episode. It was definitely one that shook things up, along with the one before that. I mean, these are the first of the two kind of long chapters, and they really throw you into this new story and the new people that are involved, the new settings that are involved. Very interesting. Well, I think we have exhausted chapter 10 to the best of our abilities. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so, other than that I thought it was a great chapter. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, definitely one of the best ones. I mean, they're all so good, I can't say one's better than the other.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
Especially because they could get better once we know more information.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting, I think, sort of, in a few episodes' time to sort of look back on it again and see those, you know, look again at more connections.
Yeah.
And see if you can link more things up.
And it's actually, you saying that reminded me of the end of the previous chapter, chapter 9. I don't know, have you listened to the chapter 9 episode of the podcast?
I haven't yet, unfortunately.
Okay, well, we talk about the interaction between Melissa and her father at the end of that chapter, and there's a facial expression he has. I'd like you to take a look at that and see if that changes your perspective on Jack Strogue. Because I never noticed it, and when he brought it up and I watched it, it made a huge difference, and it was just one facial expression.
What? Sorry, when I'm really sorry, sometimes I stammer.
No problem.
At what point was that that he made the facial expression?
It's right at the end. So when he comes outside of the house and he sees her outside and he hugs her and the camera is behind her and looking at his facial expression changes just a little bit. And I feel like
Ooh.
He knows something. It's very I didn't think I would notice at first, but it is very, it's a very dramatic change. So definitely check that out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, would you like to come back to a future episode sometime?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That'd be brilliant.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you for inviting me as well.
Yeah. So, once again, I'm Zero. I'm at A Public Witness on Twitter, and I write the blog at itwantstogetout.tumblr.com. If you'd like to listen to this podcast some more, please subscribe at the iTunes store or go to adarkcompanion.podomatic.com. Anything else you'd like to add in? Plug your Twitter?
To what, sorry?
You want to plug your Twitter again or anything?
Oh, right, yeah. I'm Liz at Primary ICT Liz T, and I really like Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts.
All right, Liz, thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye.